It is your show. We're kicking off Hour 3 of the Wednesday edition. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
The number for you is 800-259-9231. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Again, that is freetalklive.com. Still talking about intellectual property. It is a seriously... it's an issue with a lot of people that get a lot of people really upset. And it gets me upset talking to you about it because, Mark, you support, as I understand it, you think that an armed gang of thugs is the appropriate way to encourage innovation in America.
What do you think the appropriate way is to discourage thievery in America?
An armed gang of thugs.
Okay, great.
And no, I don't mean... I was kidding with that. I mean an armed person defending his or her stuff.
Swell.
Yeah.
Me too.
I don't understand your point.
Well, stealing somebody's idea.
Excuse me? What? No. We're talking about the armed gang of thugs.
Look, I realize that your argument is very easy, but your argument also stifles innovation.
No,
so it's fine.
I disagree with
that. If you just want to kill people because you think it's
fine... You're just paranoid.
You
believe that an armed gang of thugs encourages innovation.
If you don't have intellectual property, you don't have advancements in the areas of pharmaceuticals like you currently see. So you're just willing to throw those people's lives away.
I'm glad you brought that up again because in the world of pharmaceuticals, you're leaving out one important factor, and that is that this R&D cost that you keep bringing up, well, the R&D, it costs so much! Well, maybe that's because the federal government is involved in the process and increases the cost of R&D by a tremendous amount in the form of the FDA's restrictions and regulations and rules in their process.
Granted.
If it weren't for the FDA being there, R&D wouldn't cost a fraction of what it currently does today. So,
as far
as I'm concerned, you can just throw that out the window, Mark.
Oh, okay. Well, you've just argued that into the ground. No, you haven't. R&D costs a lot of money, and I don't care about the federal regulations. They cost a lot of money, too. Let's get rid of them.
So you don't include those in R&D?
Look, R&D has costs. You have to do a lot of experimentation. You have to...
so you're not including the federal regulations?
You have to employ a great deal of scientists
who
get paid
that.
A great deal of money.
Yeah.
And you have to pay that back in order to make it profitable to put
right.
your drug on the market.
I understand.
And if you do away with intellectual property, as soon as you do it, somebody can reverse engineer it and then put your drug that you worked so hard out of the market and make profits that you didn't do. So why not just sit there and wait for people to do drug innovation?
Let's talk to Bill in Virginia. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Bill, on the Amplifier line.
Hey, you know, I find this a really interesting topic, and I mean, I wouldn't exactly say I get upset about it, but, you know, it definitely gets the gears turning. I somehow bizarrely can identify with both sides of the argument, and I'm still trying to unravel this. You know, Johnson made a great point, you know, if you go and you break somebody's window and you steal a chair, that's theft. But if you look at a chair and you build your own, that's not theft. You know, I would say that I would completely agree with that kind of thing. There's got to be some, you know, level, some lower limit as to what you can look at and, you know, be free to copy. I mean, can you not look at, like, things like bricks and hammers and screws or the wheel? And, you know, is somebody going to own the idea of the wheel forever? You know, that seems kind of insane.
Yeah, I don't know. It is a tricky issue, and I would like to come up with a better way to handle these the protection of ideas than this armed gang of thugs that Mark wants to be hanging around.
All right. Now, the issue gets more complex as, you know, I talk to people about things like software and music and novels and art, especially in today's world where pretty much at the click of a button I can copy almost anything that I want.
Right.
You know, it doesn't take me any effort. I don't have to go and get the wood to build the chair and do all that. Now, it's kind of interesting to hear you and Mark argue about this because Mark wants a gang of armed thugs to, you know, protect somebody's purported intellectual property rights. And you seem to, you know, put forth the idea that an armed individual has the right to protect his intellectual property.
No, I didn't say that.
Correct?
I didn't say that at all. I was talking about physical property. I was talking about
physical property, not intellectual property.
No, I don't believe in intellectual property. I think ideas should be free.
Okay. So I guess probably the only real solution would be for something like, you know, if you had intellectual property, it would need to be something that you could hide. So, you know, if you discovered some sort of new antibiotic and you didn't tell anybody how to make it or how to make it so that it was safe for people, you know, there's nothing that compels you to divulge that information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the secret formula for Coke.
Yeah, but then, of course, to take Mark's position, then you've got the secret formula, but you're never going to use it if it stays a secret. I mean, at some point, you have to sell the secret to somebody else.
You can use it to make your product, but you don't have to tell anybody how it is that you make it.
Yeah, but what if somebody leaks it out?
Are you familiar with Crystal Pepsi? It came out in the mid-90s, I think like 93 or something like that. Do you remember this stuff back when it was a cool idea to have all your soft drinks be clear?
Well, it was because, you know, I've had a lot of parties where people have either spilled or otherwise, I don't know, hurled them, onto surfaces.
No dispute. There. But Crystal Pepsi tasted remarkably like Coke.
And your point?
The point is that Pepsi has reverse engineered Coke. It's not the secret formula of Coke is not secret to Pepsi. Believe me.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no saying how long it took them in order to reverse engineer that.
Sure, there is no saying that. Absolutely, I'm sure it took them
a
while.
Why didn't Coke sue them?
Anything that anybody can make, somebody can copy. I mean, that's why this whole national ID thing that's supposed to keep you and everybody else safe is a crock, because if I can make an ID, somebody can copy the ID.
Yeah, that much is true. And Bill, thank you for the call. We appreciate hearing from you, sir. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. Why didn't Coke sue?
Well, probably because the product was materially different than Coca-Cola.
What, because it was clear?
Right.
But if it tasted the same, and if we're talking about soft drinks,
very similar.
A blind man, it wouldn't matter what the color was.
I don't think intellectual property is there. It's for the masses, not for the blind guys, okay?
I'm just pointing out that so you're telling me that the color of the product when it comes to a drink is the critical issue versus the taste?
I think it's an issue. And I think that Coke would have a difficult time taking Pepsi into, do blind taste tests with everybody who has a different palate in a jury room.
And I think it'd be a waste of time as well.
I would have to agree.
800-259-9231.
I'm only pointing out that the secret formula of Coke that people love to trot out when we have intellectual property conversations isn't secret.
Jeff writes in here, ASCAP, BMI, and RIAA are also short-sighted. Playing cover songs in a bar is not tantamount to stealing. Public performances actually lead to sales. I was shooting a wedding, and the hired band played an old song that I'd forgotten about by Maze. I asked who the band was, and went right out and bought the Best Of CD.
I'd have to agree.
I had some of my own songs on MP3.com a few years back. One day, I got some unauthorized radio play in London. I don't know who played me, but a boatload of people bought my CD on that one day.
Sweet.
It was the most that I'd ever been paid for any of my music. I don't care if the radio station paid royalties. They couldn't because I'm not a member of ASCAP or BMI. But nonetheless, the law applies to me, and I don't care about the pennies that they didn't pay me. I thank them, whoever they were, for liking my music, playing it in a public place in London, and I guess telling people where they could get the music. They sent hundreds of dollars my way at a time that I was laid off. It was literally money out of nowhere. I did receive subsequent royalty checks out of the blue, but it was nowhere near the sales generated. Ask Mark if he wants all weddings to pay a fee for doing the electric slide. It is a public performance.
Look, I think that it's a bad idea for ASCAP BMI to go chasing after this bar. But I'm telling you that I think that it's their right. Let me tell you a story, and I believe that we talked about this on the air one time. There was a nursery school who painted Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Pluto and all those people. I hope I don't get sued by the Disney corporations for saying their names, on their wall. And they had them frolicking and doing whatever.
Great idea.
Right, it's a great idea. Well, Disney found out about it and said, sorry, can't have those on your wall. Those representations are ours. So they made a little bit of news. Hanna-Barbera came in and sent artists in, and they painted all their Hanna-Barbera.
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo and what's the bear?
Space Ghost.
Yeah, Space Ghost is awesome. But I don't think Space Ghost made the wall. The bear with the jelly.
Yogi
Bear and his little boo-boo and all that stuff. Yeah, they painted them on the wall. So that was a great opportunity for Hanna-Barbera, who's not number one by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, that much is true, but it's still pretty ludicrous that they were forced to take down the Disney characters, don't you agree?
Do I think that it's ludicrous? No!
Oh my gosh, more coming back. It's Free Talk Live.
It's a combination of the best that public broadcasting has to offer
and NFL football.
We should pass a law mandating a cooling-off period after the next 9/11 type attack. We know we're going to get hit again, and we know we're going to freak out and pass Patriot Act 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then we're going to feel bad that we acted in the heat of the moment.
Beating the ideas into the turf until something breaks. Common Sense with Dan Carlin.
Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the smell of leather seats. But what if your fine Corinthian coverings look like rawhide? When I come back, I'll turn your bland seats into blazing saddles.
I'm Bobby Likas, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going, fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air in fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com. BG.
Hit them up and move them out! Because when leather upholstery looks like it's been ridden hard and put away wet, it's time to take care of business with TCB. T. Test. Check seats by putting a drop of water on an inconspicuous area. Uncoated leather absorbs water, while treated will not. C. Clean. But before you use any leather cleaner, test for discoloration or marking. Then rub in a generous amount, let set, and wipe clean. And B. Brush. For stubborn dirt, use a soft toothbrush, which will also remove any leftover cleaner. Finally, apply your favorite leather conditioner to restore a supple shine. Happy trails! I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit TornadoAir.com or pick up your tornado at Checker, Shucks, and Cragen today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number 800-259-9231. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything there is totally free, including the bulletin board system, over 130,000 posts and more there for you at bbs.freetalklive.com. So get interactive. Again, bbs.freetalklive.com. Plus, Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. Again, freestateproject.org. So, Mark, you were telling me, we're still talking about intellectual property. You were telling me a story that I'd never actually heard about. Apparently, there was some preschool that had painted Disney characters on their wall.
Correct.
Because it's a preschool, and that seems
preschoolers
like,
Disney characters.
Right. It seems like an appropriate thing to do. Apparently,
I
some
wish we had them
lawyer,
here on the studio wall.
Some lawyer came in there and spotted it. I don't know how this information got out.
I don't either.
And
I'm sure that it was there for quite some time.
Disney got a phone call, and they didn't like it, which is just stupid on their part, because odds are those parents who were involved or the people that were involved in this case stopped buying Disney products at that point.
Or at
point.
Least slowed their Disney purchasing. They didn't have the same good feeling towards the Disney
company.
Yeah,
I sure wouldn't have. Because apparently Disney forced them to take down that painting. Now, the story turned out okay because, as you pointed out, Hanna-Barbera sent their artists over there to paint something on the wall instead, and so that's nice. It's a nice little ending to that story.
I wonder if they painted the little dog that goes...
Yeah, well, I don't know what his name is.
Smedley, I think?
Something like that. Anyway, so the story turned out okay and everything, but it doesn't work that way for everybody.
Certainly not.
And the only reason they got Hanna-Barbera there is because somebody reported on it, it made the press, and they paid attention
to it.
But you think it's okay. You think it's okay that Disney forced them to take down a picture, a painting, of Mickey Mouse.
No, I think that it's a stupid PR move, and I don't like Disney a little bit more
but
because
you support
of
them in their ability to do that.
Ian.
No, it was the preschool's paint. It was the preschool's wall. Well, it was not Disney's painting.
It's a nice, simplistic view you've got.
How can you tell me that the paint on a wall is Disney's paint?
I'm not saying
how can you
Disney's
tell
paint.
Me that Disney...
They painted Disney's characters.
No.
The characters
put
that Disney
paint
makes
on a
money
wall.
With.
They put paint on a wall, Mark,
look,
in a specific order.
Are you telling
order.
Me that Mickey Mouse wouldn't be compromised if I could put out my own Mickey Mouse cartoons and perhaps do Mickey Mouse porn or have Mickey Mouse committing crimes or doing
good
whatever?
Luck, yeah, good luck getting Walmart to carry your Mickey Mouse porn cartoon.
Hey, you never know.
Look, if you want to sell that in your corner store, then you should be free to do so.
What about the internets? I could sell it on the internets.
You sure could.
I could.
And you know what? You could do it today. And where's all the Chinese Mickey Mouse porn?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't have
Give me a
idea.
Break. 800-259-9231. I've been holding on to this for a while. Since we're into intellectual property, we might as well get into this. I mean, you've got to have a certain point, Mark, at which you're going to have to agree that it's just gone too far.
I totally agree it's gone too far. Ian, you know that I say that we need intellectual property reform.
But cracking down is not too far? That's appropriate
it's
in your mind?
Their characters.
So that's
if
not too
wanna,
far for
if
you.
They want to do something stupid like that and give Hanna-Barbera the opportunity to come in and just... You know, have this great PR coup.
They should be free to do that because it's their wall and their paint.
And I think that there's people
when you put paint
this show right now, they say to themselves, "Wow, I'm going to be less likely to support Disney and more likely to support Hanna-Barbera."
Yeah,
because that's how these things get around, Ian.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying, but you have to understand, Mark, what you're advocating is that when paint goes on a wall in a specific way, that Disney all of a sudden takes control of the wall. That's what you're just saying, and that's just nuts.
No, they didn't take control of the
yes,
wall.
Yes, they did. Because if they didn't take control of the wall,
you think
then
they had to knock
lawsuit.
The wall down?
No, they forced them to paint over it.
Right. Oh, so they didn't take control
I mean,
of the wall.
They
had the wall
those
afterwards?
Individuals. Those individuals that painted that picture were forced by the guns of the state and threats of lawsuit.
Threats of lawsuit.
And they were forced to take
no
their picture.
No cops were going to come in there. Threats of lawsuit.
Yeah, and if they lost the lawsuit or if they didn't show up at the court because it was a big joke to them, then the cops would have come in there,
wouldn't
they?
I don't think so. I don't think the cops enforce civil...
Oh, who would?
I don't know the
If you don't
that.
Show up to the civil court trial that you're supposed to be at, who's going to enforce that? Santa Claus?
Well, the civil court, you just lose.
Okay, then what?
Well, then whatever it is that they wanted to win, they win.
And what if you don't want to cover up the Mickey Mouse?
I would imagine that at that point your business is probably going to get a bad credit rating.
Oh, yeah? You think that's
you
all it's
going
to be? Really? That's all that's going to happen? Maybe I don't know anything about civil trials.
I don't know a great deal about it either, but my experience in civil trials is cops don't enforce that stuff.
Alrighty then. Let's go to Fashion Has No Owner. One of our listeners, Manuel Laura and Albert Esplugas at LouRockwell.com. If passed into law, a bill referred to Congress would extend copyright protection to fashion designs. I want to find out if you support this one, Mark. From dresses and shoes to belts and eyeglass frames, prominent designers argue that their designs are being copied even before they appear on the market. So those
you know
dirty
looking,
Chinese manufacturers...
You know what I'm looking at right now? I'm looking at Disney cartoon porn.
That's great. So anyway, prominent designers, here's your... here's your argument, Mark. I mean, you say that without patents and without copyright, these things are going to get ripped off when they hit the market. But in this case, these designers are saying the Chinese ripoff brands are stealing our ideas before they even hit the market. This is a tragedy. This is a travesty. It's amazing that clothes even get designed today, isn't it, Mark?
Look, I don't know how you're going to handle the international market. I don't have any solutions for that.
How is it that these people even profit off of these clothes? How can they profit with these dirty Chinese people stealing their ideas?
Some companies want to carry that stuff. Some don't. There's name brands. That's how they manage to do it.
Oh, I see. So maybe it is possible to profit without intellectual property.
Hey, look, the R&D that goes into a diagonally cut sleeve is probably a lot less than what goes into drug companies.
Oh, so some companies are more important than others then. Is that what you're saying? Some businesses are more important than others?
Yeah.
Who gets to decide what's more important?
Look, I don't know what to tell you, man.
I see. Prominent designers are arguing their designs are being copied even before they appear on the market, and this puts their business at risk. They're demanding a 3-year copyright over their creations, claiming that then they would have a greater incentive to innovate if they were the only ones to get the benefit of their effort. This is the argument you put forth every time intellectual property comes up. So as far as I'm concerned, you should be on their side. A similar argument, however, could be advanced by philosophers or economists to demand a copyright over their ideas. Why could a designer copyright a design while a scientist cannot copyright his new theory of evolution? What's the main difference? What's the difference between registering a fashion design and registering the Pythagorean theorem, the law of diminishing marginal utility, or the plot of M. Night Shyamalan's latest film?
I think we found that actually they're patenting DNA or copywriting DNA samples?
Yeah, the genome, I believe, is what
genome.
It is, yeah.
And so, you know, it's ridiculous to me that they can do such a thing.
Oh?
You know that it is.
Okay.
You know that
I don't know.
There should be intellectual
I'm
property.
I'm confused at what you believe. I don't really know. All
just
I know is you like violence.
You shut your eyes and say, no, there's no such thing. Doesn't mean that you have the righteousness here, man. You don't. Those people are stealing that stuff.
Who's stealing what stuff?
Look, when you misuse other people's intellectual property, you're stealing it. There's some
copyright
cases.
Right, but you believe some intellectual property is better than other intellectual property.
I absolutely do.
Uh-huh. All
right, let's go on. Some should be and some shouldn't be.
If the inventor of a... Then the problem, of course, Mark, is that you're just you, and then there's a bunch of other people out there that feel differently.
So
but
let's
only
just
some
get rid of
those
it all.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just get rid of it all. Because only some of those people are going to get into political office and reward their friends and punish their enemies. And in this case, the designers of clothing would like to have some intellectual property protections placed on their products. I mean, they're concerned, Mark. Their livelihoods are at stake. And you don't care about them? 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves. Should there be intellectual property for clothing? This is your show. It is Free Talk Live. Take control of the airwaves.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we've seen. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll free, 800-259-9231. Again, 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got lots of stuff there, and it is all free, including the live streams, broadband, and dial-up versions. Totally free. Freetalklive.com. And yes, you're right, Mark. I went to the website that you were talking about. There really is Disney porn out there.
There sure is.
In fact, this website has the Disney logo right there, front and center, and their characters drawn as porn stars, essentially. In fact, the site even claims that they'll draw whatever you want them to draw. So, like, they've got a picture of Homer Simpson getting it on with Jessica Rabbit. I mean, they'll just put anything together, any tunes together. Isn't this a travesty, Mark? Shouldn't they be punished? Shouldn't there be a lawsuit here?
I imagine it's going to be very difficult to punish them because they're probably outside the country.
They are, as a matter of fact. But but the site's registered in Canada. You would think Disney has a presence in Canada, don't
you? I would definitely think so.
So why isn't anything being done?
I don't have an answer for that.
Hmm. Should something be done?
Look, if Disney can show that they've been damaged in some way, then perhaps they should get some kind of...
So only damage is important? Because how is Disney being damaged by the preschool that drew the Disney characters on the walls?
Because they could say that people are coming to the preschool for the very fact that their characters are on the wall.
And I could say that the fact that the characters are on the wall helps the kids remember that Disney characters are fun and exciting and makes kids want to buy more Disney videos.
And I would agree with you.
Alrighty then. You can take control of the airwaves. John in New Hampshire, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I don't have an answer to any of this. I just wanted to join the conversation. It's always nice to hear Bill down there in Virginia.
Indeed.
When this intellectual property rights issue came up at the Pork Fest, there was a group of people standing around talking about it, and some people broke off and came over to my tent site. And I said, I'm glad they're over there talking about it because they're going to solve this tonight, and we don't have to discuss it anymore.
Oh, I don't know if this is going to be solved in one night. We've talked about this for a couple of years now on Free Talk.
Right. I think it will go on forever.
Yeah.
What I wanted to add to the conversation is I've been writing some songs. One of the songs is popular right from the start with the FSP leadership, activists, friends, happily, just general people here in New Hampshire because it's a love song to New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing some other songs where I write them and then I play them on the street or in front of groups, and I make some minor adjustments in this sort of thing. I'm just wondering, you know, is my song copyrighted at one point? You know, where do I have a right to it, or
according
don't
to, as I understand copyright law, as soon as it is created and dated, it has a copyright. I'm not an expert on this. I'm not a lawyer. But as I understand it, as soon as you have written it down or saved a file on the computer or uploaded it to a website, done something that can somehow show that you wrote this on this particular date, you can, it is essentially copyrighted.
Another thing that I wonder about is if, in fact, we do have property, intellectual property rights, and I'm not sure about any of this yet. Mark was making the point that the person who creates it and sells it, you know, upon his expiration, then the copyright would be gone. Well, say, for example, I created a song, and I'm not really selling it. I'm just doing it as part of a an activist movement, and yet I wanted to pass on the so-called property ownership to my daughter in case this song, because, you know, the first song that I wrote, Let Me Call You Home, you know, a couple guys at work said, what are you doing just putting that on the internet? What if it sells a million copies? I said, I don't think we have to worry about that. But if so, so be it. There it is. It's out there.
How would you feel, John, if somebody took your song, somebody in, say, California, some socialist, took your song and started playing it in clubs and started making money off of it?
What if he recorded it and sold it in you know, Camelot Music and Blockbuster and all these other places?
There's where I find the difference. If somebody is playing it, and they're playing it publicly, and they're not, and there's where the profit thing gets a little funny, because if the band's doing it, they're profiting because, you know, they're a good band and they've got good songs. And if the club is allowing them to play it, well, they're profiting because they've got a good band with good songs. I guess to me, just to personalize it, it seems to me if somebody wants to put it on a disc and sell it, I don't know how I'll copy, you know, I don't know how royalties work or anything like that. But at some point, if somebody takes it, and I suppose if they're acting like it's their song, it's really difficult for me. I listen to some Irish music, and some of the Irish bands that I really respect always give credit when they play something created by somebody else.
Right.
They also say where they learned it, or a particular version. It might I spoke to a guy at a party over there in Deerfield for some early movers a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about possibly putting down some stuff on a CD. And one of the fellows said, you know, he's got some other things in mind, maybe Bob Marley, a freedom song, or this or that.
Okay.
And I thought, we get into some issues there. You have to be aware that you don't own those songs.
Right, you can't just put those on a CD.
So where does it go when it's maybe a traditional song? And that's what I suggested to the fellow. There's plenty of good songs. They're traditional. They're just out there. Maybe nobody even knows who wrote them.
I saw something the other night. Last night when I was looking at this issue, where BMI apparently claims dominion over all traditional Irish folk music. I mean, there's just crazy stuff going on
now. Insane.
Yeah,
hey, you know what?
It is insane.
Speaking of that sort of thing, I listen to some very old blues. I don't listen to it much these days, but years ago I listened to the blues a lot. And Led Zeppelin band came out in the early 70s, I guess it was, one of their albums, late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
And there's a song on there, and it's got written by, you know, it's credited to Jimmy Page, at least, and maybe one other member of the band.
But it wasn't them.
I've got a record that goes back way back when, from before that, and there the song is. Now, I do know that Jimmy Page also was a studio musician, so maybe he wrote it as a teenager when he was doing that.
That's
for
possible.
These boys.
Doesn't
I don't know how
though.
That all works.
Yeah.
Just wanted to join the conversation.
Thank you, John. We appreciate it, man. There. Thank you, sir. 800-259-9231. So the fashion lobby is lobbying for copywriting and protections, intellectual property protections, 3 years is what they want, on their clothing. And they're saying that, well, these are
3 years, I'll tell you. 3 years on fashions, that'll just kill anything that any competition. Because 3 years from now, whatever's fashionable is no longer fashionable.
Well, don't they deserve to profit from their ideas as much as anybody else deserves to profit from their ideas?
Yeah, it's difficult, and I don't see it that way. To me, if you're cutting fabric in a particular way or sewing a button on a particular way, I mean, that doesn't seem very patentable.
Copyrights, according to Manuel Lora and his friend, if the inventor of the supermarket, the wheel or the ladder, had patented his idea, would we say that he was merely protecting his property, or would we have accused him of protecting himself against competition? It's a fine line, isn't it, there, Mark?
I'm not saying that it's not a difficult subject,
Does
Ian.
The fashion lobby aim to defend their legitimate property or to unjustly profit by shielding themselves from competition? Copyrights and patents are intellectual property rights, that is, rights and ideal objects. Why can some ideas be protected but not others? The fact that even the defenders of intellectual property consider absurd the proposal that any kind of idea should be protected and that they must therefore establish an arbitrary limit suggests that there's something strange about these rights over ideal objects and that the parallel between property over material objects and property over immaterial objects is only apparent. From a libertarian point of view, a person becomes the owner of an unowned resource when he homesteads it, or when he receives it voluntarily from another owner. He then has the right to do with it what he wants to, so long as this use does not trespass on others' legitimately acquired property. According to the logic of copyrights and patents, however, you only need to convince of a new way of using, a given type of resource, whether you own it or not, to claim partial ownership of that resource. You don't need to have homesteaded it first, nor have received it from a previous third-party owner. For example, suppose that George occupies and works an unowned plot of land. He becomes the owner of that plot of land. Richard, who lives across the country and has never stepped on George's land, conceives of the idea of crop irrigation. The logic behind intellectual property would suggest that Richard, due to his new invention, now acquires a partial property right over George's plot of land, in that he obtains the right to prevent George from applying this new technique on his own land, similar to Disney claiming the right to prevent that particular preschool from painting a picture on their wall.
A specific picture.
We're coming back to more.
Not just pictures in general.
And a specific technique of crop irrigation. More on the way. You take control. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is your show. It's Free Talk Live. Only moments remain in the Wednesday edition here at 800-259-9231 is the number for you to get on right now, because now would be the time. 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. I want you to amp the show. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. Apparently one of our amplifiers, one of the $50 amplifiers, which is unusual. We only ask $3. Which is the idea is that you send us $3 and we promote the show. We get Free Talk Live on more stations around the country, more internet connections. It's a very successful program. We really appreciate everybody who's on board. But one of our listeners apparently has got some sort of an IRS, some sort of a levy, as he described it, on his bank account. So he had to cancel his subscription, which always makes me sad. But I'm more sad to know that one of our listeners is being harassed by the IRS.
Yeah, that is not good. That's not a good thing at all.
When they levy your bank account, that means that they're just taking money right out, essentially, right?
Do they just take it all?
I don't know.
How do you pay your bills? What about your mortgage?
I didn't get the whole story from him, but man, that's frightening.
Yeah, that stinks.
But hey, if you've got the $3 sitting around, we would appreciate you sending it this way, because we give you everything at freetalklive.com for free. That way, we're sort of encouraging people to get involved voluntarily. Those other radio talk shows, they want to charge you $5, $6, or $7 a month for their archives and the other features that we give away at freetalklive.com. So if you like that and you appreciate it, then a great way to show your appreciation is to amp. Amp.freetalklive.com. As we go to the phones and to the fun, talking about intellectual property. Keith in Pennsylvania, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Yeah, this isn't Keith in Tennessee.
Okay, it's Keith in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he's in Colorado. I don't know if I have much to contribute to this discussion, but I'm enjoying the passionate arguments on either side.
All right.
I was wondering, what is the objectivist perspective on intellectual property?
I don't know. I'm not an objectivist. Can you tell me?
Okay. I don't know. I just thought it would be an interesting perspective on the discussion, because I'm not an Ayn Rand scholar. I've read some of her books, and, you know, I
like the idea of objectivism. I just don't know a great deal about it.
I don't know even know what it is, really. I've read Anthem.
Essentially Ayn Rand's philosophy.
I don't know what that is. I know she's sort of libertarian.
Yeah, I think she kind of despised that term from what I've read. But basically, I think her philosophy, someone can call in and correct me on this. I'm not an expert. But basically, she breaks society into three classes of people, right? There's Attila, like Attila the Hun, and those are people that use force to get what they want.
Right, like Mark. I'm kidding. Only on the intellectual property issue.
And then there's the witch doctors, and they're people that use like mysticism and guilt to get people to do what they want.
Okay.
And both Attila and the witch doctors, they're not capable of abstract thought. Basically, that's how she generalizes. But they're both incapable of abstract thought. The third category are the producers, right? And they're the ones that come up with the ideas, they make the inventions, and Attila and the witch doctor are constantly trying to exploit the producer. And to them, it's kind of a mystery how a producer can come up with these new ideas or, you know, new ways of creating products and services.
Hmm.
Now, Ayn Rand probably, I'm sure she did, she probably copyrighted her books that she wrote, right? So that might be one indication. Right, presumably. But I just thought that might be an interesting perspective. Someone is a Ayn Rand expert. Maybe they can call in and, flush that out.
Very good.
They better be quick.
Keith, thanks for bringing it up.
Sorry.
I appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. So we're talking about how intellectual property, or at least I was talking about it, from LewRockwell.com, fashion has no owner, how intellectual property allows individuals who have no claim over somebody's property to actually have said claim without actually having to go through the homesteading process or any of the processes to actually obtain ownership of said property. And the example they're giving is George, who occupies and works on a plot of land, thereby homesteading it, making it his plot of land. Across the country, there's Richard, who develops a invention. He develops crop irrigation, and he patents it. And so, therefore, this guy, Richard, across the country, has now gained ownership, in a way, over George's land, in that if George decides that he wants to use this crop irrigation technique on his land to keep it fertile and healthy, he can't, unless he pays a royalty fee, presuming this guy even wants to accept royalty fees, which he doesn't have to do. He could say, this is my idea and you can't use it at all, in which case then George is prevented from doing what he wants on his own property with his own things because some guy somewhere else has come up with an idea. And they continue here. Regarding the application of crop irrigation on George's land, he's no longer the full owner anymore since he must now obtain Richard's permission. Richard can block George from applying his idea, even though Richard wasn't the first occupier, the homesteader, of every piece of land which he now claims control. Is the exercising of this blocking not an invasion of George's land by Richard, since the latter prevents the former from doing what he wants with his homesteaded land? Let's also suppose, hypothetically, that Richard is able to conceive of every possible use of iron or steel and patents these ideas. In such a scenario, anyone who owns those metals wouldn't be able to do anything with them at all without Richard's permission.
Well, that seems a little ludicrous. I mean, you'd spend all of your waking moments from life to death patenting everything you could do with iron and steel, and wouldn't get done.
I don't think it's that ludicrous because, I mean, obviously the suggestion is silly. Nobody's going to do that. But there are companies out there, Mark, whose sole existence is to acquire patents.
Absolutely.
And you don't agree with them. You don't like those guys, right?
I don't think that... I like the idea of people producing stuff. But I think that when they produce it, they should be protected. That's all.
So these companies acquire concepts and things that people have produced, and they hold them. And they sit around and they wait until somebody decides they want to produce a similar idea. Then the company pounces on that individual, forces the production to stop, and profits. And that's what's going on right now.
I think there's a problem with that.
1-800-259-9231. So why does intellectual property conflict with traditional private property? Well, because those two concepts refer to goods of a different nature. Non-scarce goods, that is, ideas, an idea is non-scarce because it can be copied forever. As it can be passed on from person to person. It doesn't take resources to transmit an idea, to hold an idea. It's in your brain, so it's non-scarce. Then there's scarce goods, which are tangible resources, like water and wood and that sort of thing. And given that rights are always enforced against tangible things, since force is physical, if you grant a right over an idea, then this necessarily means granting a right in thousands of millions of scarce resources onto which this idea might be imprinted, as in all of the thousands of walls of preschools where someone might want to paint a picture of Mickey Mouse. In other words, the owner of the...
I would dispute that, in fact, profitable ideas are infinite.
That's non-scarce.
non-scarce.
Yeah.
I would dispute that.
You would dispute it?
Yes, absolutely. Profitable ideas are the most valuable things around, Ian, and they are darn scarce.
Yeah, but the idea itself is not scarce. It can be copied from one person to another without eliminating the original idea. Do you understand?
Oh,
That's
understand.
That's the definition of non-scarce.
I understand that. Yeah, but it's that production of that original one that counts. Not the copying of it, Ian.
I see what you're
saying.
Because
what you're saying is it is useless and worthless that you think of a brand new good idea. It stinks.
I didn't say that. I think it's great that people come up with ideas. I just think they should be free.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be rewarded in any way, shape, or form for it.
I didn't say that either. They should absolutely be awarded. If they can take their idea...
No, you want to reward them for marketing and salesmanship. You do not want to reward them for their ideas.
That's all that counts, man, is marketing and salesmanship.
It's just
all that
your
counts.
Marketing and salesmanship.
Let's talk to DJ in Illinois. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello. DJ. DJ going once. DJ in Illinois going twice.
Hello, I'm here.
Hello, DJ. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I'm a little closer to Ian, I think, on this intellectual property debate. But I still think intellectual property needs to be protected. But I just don't want the government doing it. So why not introduce free market alternatives to protecting intellectual property?
I would love to have a free market alternative that will satisfy people, like Mark.
Something like the UL does for electronics, but have it for copywriting and that type of thing.
Yeah, but how's
that? Are you familiar with the UL?
Yeah, I am definitely familiar with UL. But how does that translate to rip-off products and that sort of thing?
I don't know. I mean, instead of having a copyright symbol at the bottom of your published work, for example, you might register it with this private organization and then put their logo or their symbol or whatever it is at the bottom of your published works.
And then theoretically, stores like Walmart will only sell the products with the UL symbol. They'll only sell the
right.
products with this theoretical symbol. But then there could be a store that opens up that just says, screw your symbols, we'll sell whatever we want.
There are stores that say that.
And that's why I'm closer to Ian on this, because I think you're right. I think they should be able to do so still. I think that, but people...
And let the market decide?
Exactly.
Currently,
if
stores
people
do
don't
that.
Want to buy those things.
Hold on,
just
1 second. Currently, stores do that. You can go into many convenience stores and find "quote unquote" Joakley's there and fake Oakley's.
And Oakley's doing all right, right? They're doing okay.
Doing fine.
All righty then. Hey, DJ, we're out of time. Thanks for the call, though. 800-2. We're done. I don't know. Let's see. I guess Jason's there. Jason in California. You've got like 5 seconds. Jason in California going once, going twice. All right. We're out of here. It's Vinny in here with you.
Good night. It's Mark.
See you tomorrow night online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.